From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, biofuels expert David Bloom joins us. We're going to talk about what you put in your car and whether we're going to make some major changes in this country. Well, tomatoes are again safe to eat, according to the Food and Drug Administration. Now, that's weeks after the food was blamed as the source of a salmonella outbreak in several states. The federal agency lifted its warning about tomatoes, but left in place a warning about jalapeno and serrano peppers, which it said could pose a risk to elderly people or people with compromised immune systems. The source of the outbreak of the salmonella still isn't known, but the FDA said the epidemic is waning. Salmonella has caused more than 1,000 infections since April, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, we've got a lot of affiliates there. Well, they lead the nation when it comes to obesity, according to a new government survey. More than 30% of adults in each of the states tip the scales enough to ensure the South remains the nation's heaviest region. Colorado is the least obese, with about 19% fitting that category in the random telephone survey last year by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. I think maybe I'm going to talk to some of the folks when I get back to Los Angeles at the network. We do a major campaign to lose millions of pounds and make everybody healthier. Maybe we'll do that. Oil prices fell below $130 a barrel for the very first time in more than a month, as a dramatic slide entered a third day, along with a sharp sell-off in natural gas. The declines accelerated amid growing concerns about the weakening U.S. economy. And Al Gore is challenging the nation to produce every kilowatt of electricity through wind, sun, and earth-friendly energy sources within the next 10 years. It's a huge goal that he hopes the next president will embrace. The former vice president said fellow Democrat Barack Obama and Republican rival John McCain are way ahead of most politicians in the fight against global climate change. And a number of scientists are now beginning to say, by the way, that they do not believe that Earth changes and major climate changes are caused by man. I've always said I think it's just an Earth cycle. Well, as you know, for several weeks now, producer Tom Danheiser has been driving around and registering information on his car. He's got a Mustang on his car with a device that is supposed to give him better fuel mileage. Tommy's back there in the LA studios. Now, Tom, when we first did the test with your car, you know, we went through how to do it, how to fill up, how to record. You went to the same pump. What did we get for gas mileage before the machine was installed on your engine?
I ran just about a full tank, and I got 18 miles to the gallon.
All right. Actually, 17.99999.
Right, and you rounded it off.
18 miles to the gallon. You went to the same pump. You filled up. It cost you, by the way, almost $67. And so that's what we kept for some time. Then, and we're going to bring in the engineer in just a second, we installed the device on your car, and you drove how many miles, roughly?
I drove roughly about 45 miles.
Okay, you drive 45, and that was a full tank, though, right?
It was a full tank. It took me about 10 days to burn through the whole tank. So I actually drove through way more than that.
Okay, actually, I've got your number. You drove 240 miles.
There you go.
Gotcha.
I was just checking on you.
All right, and that turned out to be 16.567 miles to the gallon, right?
Yeah, I'd like to tell you a little better news, but I actually lost about 2 miles to the gallon.
Okay, you lost 2 miles to the gallon after this device, which is supposed to turn water into a hydrogen booster, was installed on your car.
That's correct, and during the 10 days, it needed to be serviced twice.
All right.
That is not normal from what I understand.
All right. Stay with us here, Tom. Let's bring in engineer Fred Gutierrez. He's a former clinical psychologist who left his practice. He now travels around doing installs of an affordable and simple technology that converts water into hydrogen. Here he is. Fred, it didn't go the way we all thought. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, how are you doing tonight, George?
I'm doing good. Thanks.
All right. And Tom, good talking to you.
Hey, Fred.
Well, actually, we find that about 7% of the people that we do installations for, they get similar kind of results. Their mileage goes backwards. So it's not a huge surprise. I would say probably the greatest thing that people encounter when we talk about this, and by the way, this is not something that we profess as the number one thing when we talk about, you know, water for fuel or anything like that. That's promoted by a lot of websites to sell different items. And what we found, as a matter of fact, after I did the first 50 installations, I found out that the things that we can really guarantee people is engine performance increase, which I think Tom noticed that his idle was reduced pretty dramatically and his engine sounded better.
Fred, I do got to tell you, I was running very clean and it was performing a lot better. I will say that.
Yeah, and the harmful emissions are definitely reduced. So his car is running green. Now, we talk about mileage. What we tell people is that 70% of the people we do installs for get a 20 to 40% increase. And Tom fell way at the other end of the scale. And so usually what we find what's happening, most cars after 1997, I think that's the year, is when the OBD2 computer was installed. And some cars are a little different amongst even the same model. Tom's situation is quite similar. When we've done, like, for example, Toyotas, a bunch of Toyota Tacomas, even though they may be the same year or the same model but different years, we cannot predict straight across the board whether or not they're going to get an increase, even though we thought so.
And Fred, what did Tom mean by his service light went on, his red light went on? What did that mean?
Yeah, we've got a control unit inside the car that tells the unit when it you're within 50 to 100 miles of needing to service the unit. And what happened was I found out when our installer, Gilbert, went out there to service the unit, he had readjusted the bubbler. And Tom actually had about another 100 miles to go before it needed to be serviced. But we want to follow up. We want to do this, you know, as close as possible with the monitoring of what we're doing with Tom. And he readjusted the bubbler to cause the water to actually be consumed quicker.
Okay, so I would guess the fact that he got mileage less than before the install, at least on this go-around, we got to call this test a failure. It didn't work.
Well, I would say it did work. Because we actually proved 1 and 2, which are the guarantees that we tell people. As far as the mileage increase, here's what we found. There's a situation where the O2 sensor, which primarily, and this is layman's terms, is a glorified thermometer. You get reconstituted oxygen and hydrogen going through the exhaust pipe, which is, of course, steam. And that's a higher temperature than the exhaust emissions. And what that does is that thermometer says, oh, this is running so hot. We're measuring the temperature here. We're going to send a signal to the OBD2 computer and say, hey, we need to cool it down. So what we're actually going to do is increase the amount of fuel that's being dumped into the injectors and into the pistons, into the cylinders.
Well, maybe so for the environment. Maybe for the environment. Maybe for the environment it was a boost, but in terms of getting more mileage and maybe saving some money on gasoline, it didn't work, Fred.
In this situation, I would say there'd be some tweaking that would need to be done. And some cars are like that. And, you know, it's what we're going to do is to kind of do a little more testing with Tom. Is we're going to buy a tank of gas for him. We're going to back his O2 sensor out. We're going to hook up something called a scan gauge 2 to it, which actually reads every piece of information about the fuel consumption and monitors everything and gives you really tight numbers. So that way it monitors, it actually plugs right into where they hook the scanner into your car to read the engine check light and find out what computer codes are being generated and monitor everything. So maybe we're going to do a little more on this.
Maybe what we should do is test it again with the device turned off, get another reading, see if we get close to this 18 miles per gallon that Tom got originally, and then
right.
Let you install what you have to do. But I will tell you this, we'll pay for the gasoline. We'll do that on our own, all right? I want you to go to that same pump, Tom, that you've been going to.
I go to the same pump. Face the car the same direction, try to get the same time of day or night that I fill up. You know, everything that I could think of to do.
Okay, we'll do that, but we'll buy the gasoline. Okay, Fred, thanks. All right, and Tom, were you disappointed?
You know what? I really was. When I first started this, I thought, well, this is going to be cool. Maybe I'll get, you know, a couple more miles to the gallon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then as I was driving, I found myself really looking at the numbers almost every day because I wanted this really to work. And, man, I remember when I called you a couple days ago, George, and I told you what we had to report. And, yeah, I was pretty bummed.
I know. And I went through the mathematics with you several times to make sure you were absolutely correct. And you were. You know, we checked it, double checked it. So let's do it again one more time. But the fact that we're in an era where gasoline prices are outrageous and you didn't increase your fuel mileage, it didn't work as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with you. But you know what? I'm willing to try this again because if there's any kind of relief that we can find for people, I'm all for it.
Well, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. We'll do it one more time, and then I got to tell you, if the results are very good on the installs end, then we're going to have to do it one more time then and go with three. But we'll do it one more time. But as of right now, at least with this, I'm not jumping for joy. And maybe it's your car. I mean, you drive, what, a 1908 car or what? Something like that.
Close, 1837.
All right, thanks, Tom.
Okay.
Get back to work. Now, here's another major story. Coming out of Brazil, but it affects the Philippines. Brazilian psychic, his name is Juscelino Nobrega de Lotz. He has prophesied that thousands of Filipinos will get hit in an 8.1 magnitude earthquake to strike the Philippines on Friday. Dubbed as the modern-day Nostradamus, he has created a stir worldwide when he claimed to have predicted the death of Princess Diana and the 9/11 terror attack. The tsunami that wreaked havoc in Indonesia on December 26, 4 years ago, a further tremor in Sumatra, and the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and the winning of the Soccer World Championship by Italy. Those predictions, by the way, apparently have been notarized for authenticity prior to. The 47-year-old school teacher, he made predictions also which span more than 30 years. Now, among his prophecies for this year also are an Empire State Building-type terror attack and a 9.1 magnitude earthquake in China, both happening in September. Now, he may have already been right about the Chinese earthquake because that one was a big one a few months ago. We'll monitor this situation. But Friday, and it's coming up, he expects a huge earthquake in the Philippines. The NFL is stepping up its monitoring of an on-field player activity to ensure that no one is flashing the hand signals of street gangs. The LA Times is reporting that the league had hired experts to look at game tapes and identify players or team officials who might be using suspected gang signals. Violators would be warned and disciplined if the episodes recur. The scrutiny intensified after the shooting death of a Denver cornerback in 2007. St. Louis soccer favorite Slobo Ilievski is dead at the age of 58. I mention this because he brought St. Louis fans just the nights and nights of just great times when he played with the St. Louis Steamers soccer team. He died in a Seattle hospital of a ruptured aorta while participating in a men's 55 and over age soccer match. He jumped up, complained of a problem, and underwent 13 hours of surgery for this ruptured aorta. A Chinese woman who long suffered with elephantitis of her legs is looking forward to wearing skirts again. Her legs weighed, the legs now, 110 pounds. They were huge because of this disease. She underwent a 10-hour surgery, and hopefully she will be okay. In Maine, a woman finds an 8-foot-long python in her washing machine, came up through the pipes. She called the police. They didn't want to touch it, so an animal control person had to show up. He thought it was only a little thing until he kept pulling it out. 8 feet long. In a moment, Dr. Roger Lear, he goes looking for strange things, too, in people. Implants. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. Here he is. He's with us for the rest of the hour. We'll take phone calls later on. Dr. Roger Lear. He's one of the greatest when it comes to finding implants implanted in people. Have you ever taken one out of an animal, Roger?
No, George, I haven't. Do you have an animal?
No, but that could be a first. That could be a first. Actually, I think you might also want to just start taking these chips out of animals that people have put in. Apparently, they're not working as well as they thought and might be causing tumors by the site.
Oh, that's correct. That really kind of ticks me off because this is the science, the quote unquote, that they want to distribute amongst the human population. And about 2 months ago, there was a definitive statement that came out of a large company in Florida that said now they've unfortunately have to agree that these electronic objects cause tumors that are cancerous.
Roger, lots to talk with you about this hour, about what you've been doing in a surgery you performed not too long ago. But very quickly, you too had some kind of a hydrogen fuel device on your car, and you didn't get great results either, did you?
Yes and no. I did. We installed a device of my own invention, working with three people, but it was a similar device to what I believe that Tom has. And I'm down about 1.8 miles per gallon. However, we didn't stop there. We wanted to know why, because evidently it has some effect on the engine and how it runs. Otherwise, the miles wouldn't drop. So we're just starting to understand what goes on with the computer system on the car. And I think the gentleman, your guest that you just had on there, has got it right on the head. But it's a little more complex than what he talked about. We've already done the things that he's going to do to Tom's car. We had it on the computer diagnostic machine, and we did all the readings, and we found that the voltages in the oxygen sensors were not what they should be, and the guy that was doing this was quite amazed. But
well, I tell you, we've got a lot of people who are disappointed in the results, as I am, but you know what? That's what we got to do. We got to just tell it the way it is, and this is the way it is, and we'll test it one more time. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Hey, George, this is new stuff. This is new territory. And, you know, if you're going to have any success, you just can't throw up your hands and say, oh, it doesn't work. Now, this gas, Brown's gas, is combustible at 1,500 degrees centigrade. The cylinder combustion temperature in an average engine is between 8 and 1,800 degrees, so it's at the upper end. So it does burn. It's just a matter of, I think, being able to dial it in. That's what we have to learn.
Roger, tell me about your most recent surgery.
Most recent surgery was done December the 15th of 2007 on a very interesting patient who happened to be a retired naval intelligence officer. And his life in the military was quite interesting, to say the least. And he left the service in absolutely terrible physical condition because the nature of his job exposed him to a number of things which affect your health, and one was depleted uranium. Now, he was in the field of electronics, and so he has quite a knowledgeable background. But he had experiences, and after the surgery is done, we did a hypnotic regression with him, with Yvonne Smith. This was also filmed by the History Channel, by the way, for UFO hunters. And but you know, on TV they can only show small smatterings of everything. But he had a very successful hypnotic session in which he remembered the device being put in on the ship, and that's quite a hair-raising story.
Now, this metallic object that was in the back of his leg, what do you think?
Well, it seemed to fall within a category of some of the others that we have removed. In fact, he was the 14th surgery. We're now preparing to do the 15th and 16th surgeries. But a number of these, specifically seven, all look basically alike when they come out of the body. If you lined them all up on surgical sponges, you wouldn't know which one came from who. So they're little metallic rods, usually about 4 to 6 millimeters in length and about as thick as a pencil lead. And they're confined in a cocoon of biological tissue. And that's one of the mysteries itself, is what is the biological tissue? Is it nothing more than an inclusion cyst, which is fibrous, or is it something else? And actually,
from the recipient's own body, right?
Right. But we don't know that, because DNA has never been performed.
Roger, stay with us. Lots more to talk with you about when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And we're with Dr. Roger Lear. I'm going to take your calls as well this hour. Roger, how much does it cost to do a DNA test on one of these samples?
Well, it can vary depending upon the complexity of the DNA. Not so that much DNA is different, but it's a little bit different than looking to find out whether someone is somebody's father. What you're looking for here is, number one, to match the DNA of the host. Now, that's never been done. So perhaps it is a match, but it's also a possibility it does not match. If it does not match, then we have the possibility, is this animal DNA or is this DNA from somewhere else? And that gets exceedingly more expensive.
Well, and what we will really find out, too, then, if it is DNA from some other source, at least we know it was put in this person. It's not something that he stepped on or anything like that.
Oh, that's correct. Now, of course, his last case, he couldn't have stepped on it because it was in the back of his leg. You know, in a place where you couldn't sit on it or step on it. And you remember, in all these cases, there's no mark, there's no portal of entry to where this went in. I don't know if Lex put the report up on the website, but I have some astounding pictures. And this was a scientific report that just recently got on some of this tissue by a fantastic company. And they are willing to now, they're so interested in this, they're willing to sponsor this research. And one of the tests they did recommend was that DNA be done on this soft tissue material.
So we might get some data anyway.
Oh, yes, we will definitely get data out of these folks that are handling this now are just so blown away. They've never seen anything like this. And one of the most interesting parts of the report, they looked at this under the scanning electron microscope, and they found that there were sections with, cracks. Let's look at the surface. The surface is cracked. And as you increase the power of the electron microscope, you look deeper and deeper into the metal material until you begin to look down into the cracks. And what they've discovered when they look down into the cracks is there's another matrix inside the metal, which is not metal. It's biological. So to make it very simple, we have something here in which biological tissue is growing from a metal matrix and is made of an alloy, which they have never seen before.
Has any governmental agency or individual working on behalf of the government ever approached you, contacted you, tried to bother you about any of these?
Well,
operations.
You know, it's hard to say, but I'm convinced that in certain ways they have. If you remember, not too long ago, I was on the air on a cell phone with you folks talking to James Van Praagh.
Yes.
And that night, the minute that we started talking about gray aliens, we lost the call. Now, I turned the radio on so I could hear you were wondering, what happened to me?
Yeah, where's Roger?
Yeah, where's that guy? But what happened was that something happened to my cell phone, and I thought the battery went dead. And I checked it before we went on the air. It was pretty strong, and it went on that long. When I got home, George, the battery was fried. The dash lights on the person's car that I was in instantaneously blinked out, came back again. And the first thing I heard on the phone when it came back was someone, a male, said, oh, that'll be enough of that, and it was gone.
Jeez, it's just like Jordan Maxwell has these strange episodes when he's with us as well.
Well, this was really weird because whatever hit that phone fried the battery and also dimmed the dash lights in the car, and I wasn't driving, so there's a witness to this.
All right, well, stay with us. We're going to take phone calls in just a second with Dr. Roger Lehr. And also, if you get up to the coasttocoastam.com website and just look at my travel schedule, I'm going to be at the Central Coast Science UFO Symposium with Dr. Lehr in Santa Maria, California, in August. That information is all there, and you'll also find it on his website, alienscalpel.com. When we come back, more questions with Dr. Roger Lehr and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. We're with Dr. Roger Lehr. Roger, what is your doctor, your scientist, what does your gut tell you about what these things could be?
Well, you know, you can only scientifically theorize, and then if you're sticking with the straight science, you've got to take it into a laboratory, test it, and prove it. But in short, I don't think they're tracking devices or devices such as tracking devices, because if they're placed in humans by an advanced civilization, advanced intelligence, they wouldn't need a device to track you, because we know that DNA has its own electronic signature. So evidently, if somebody wants to know, or something wants to know information about certain humans, and I think that looking in general, and I've been in 42 countries in 7 years, this is a worldwide phenomena. And people who are undergoing abductions, you know, the bottom line is what's taken is ova and sperm. So you know, it would be pretty safe to say that there's something genetic having to do with DNA going on. And then you mate this with the children that have been born within the last 75 years. They're different, George. They're not the same.
Well, that's true.
Not the same critter as certainly myself. And they have a lot of advances that older folks don't have. So it looks like, to me, that the human race may be undergoing a genetic manipulation, and perhaps those that are doing the manipulation have ways of checking to see how things are going.
That could be. You know, once a year, Roger, I go and get a blood test because I like to get my numbers. I want to know what my cholesterol liver is, a liver profile. I just like to get my numbers. And I'm wondering if this implant is something that does that. It reads your, you know, biological numbers and sends them back to whoever installed it.
That's what I like about you, George. You're an intelligent, well-thinking human being. And you know, you find those every once in a while today. And, you know, what we found lately within the last three cases, these devices, before they're removed, are emitting radio signals. And, you know, a large electromagnetic frequency. So one of them we found was in the FM band, and I sent it to a place that I won't mention, but I got a classified report back. This frequency was used as a deep space communication frequency. So what in the world is going on? Why would an advanced intelligence have to operate on an FM band deep space frequency? The only answer I can come up with is if there's information available, it's being shared.
It's being shared. That's a well-said statement. East of the Rockies, Brett in Kansas, you're on with us. Hey, Brett.
How you doing, George?
Good.
Hey, Dr. Lehr, you know what? I've got a question. You know, we're talking about alien implants and everything, and that just got me to thinking about other, like, genetic, like, I guess, man, I don't know what the word for it is, like, where, like, interbreeding, I guess, between, like, humans and other species. I mean, what, have you ever heard about, like, the Dulce Wars in Dulce, New Mexico, and about how they went into this alien base and they found, like, this guy who was, like, half human, like, half octopus?
Yeah, I have heard of it, and as a matter of fact, the History Channel, I believe, did go into the area and came out with some information. But what you're talking about is what's called a hybrid, and Dr. David Jacobs, who was a well-respected researcher in the abduction field, feels that one of the things that's going on is the manufacturing, pardon the expression, of a cross being between a human and non-human as a hybrid. Now, if that's true, we don't know why they're doing that. perhaps if something happens to the human race because of some kind of catastrophe that happens with the Earth, maybe those are the entities that will rehabit the planet. I don't know. Nobody knows. And if anybody tells you that they do know and has the answers, you better put one finger in each ear and run as fast as your legs will take you.
Next up, it's Joe in New Mexico. Take it away, first-time caller.
Hi, Dr. Lear. I'm so sorry to even have to lament the what's being done to me, not in Iran, not in North Korea, not in communist China, but right here in the USA, okay? The 21st century AD. Sir, I was implanted, and while I was in prison, after being railroaded by police, I just want to know, I just want to just say this briefly. You could check this out whatever you want, impartially, but everyone I've spoken to thus far is so frightened of the police. I don't know. I would thought this was like the Tom Tom McCoo of Haiti. I don't know why, if you could ask, why the FBI lies so much. Every agency of law enforcement I've called to protest this treatment, they talk about waterboarding. I was worse than waterboarded in prison. You know, I was shackled to the bed, to the bunk, totally dark, no food, no nothing, no clothing, just naked. And I mentioned this treatment, and everybody turned a deaf ear. Why are you filthy American bastards?
Well, off he goes.
feel sorry for that fellow.
Well, he had some rough treatment, I guess. Yeah. Next up, let's go to you, wild card line. Corey, you're on the air with us. Hey, Corey.
Hi. A couple of years, about 2006, me and my brother came home one night, and we were looking up at the sky, and it was dark and no clouds. It was just starry. Well, we saw what looked to be like a comet or something flying across the sky. We kept looking at it, and we're like, whoa, comet. And we kept looking for a minute, and then it came back. And we were like, whoa, that's not a comet. And it disappeared for about half a second. It came back the exact same way it went again. It went super fast. It looked like something you'd see off of Star Trek, you know, where they go into hyperspeed or something. And, well, that was weird enough. And I've had nightmares ever since about it, and about aliens, and not really aliens itself, but about UFOs and abductions and things. And I don't remember ever being abducted, but...
Well, most people don't unless they get hypnotized, Corey. Do you recommend that every person that you have operated on also undergo some kind of hypnotherapy, Roger, or is that standard procedure?
Negative. Absolutely 100% no. I think that it has to be a very, very a soul-searching decision, because someone of you know, at least past 20 years of old of age has gotten used to living whatever it is they're living with, and somehow they get along. Some, unfortunately, don't get along as well as others. But you've got to really search your soul and ask yourself: do you really want to know more? Because maybe some individuals shouldn't have that knowledge, and they could be far worse off by finding things out in a hypnosis session. Other people have that zest for knowledge. They want to know. They don't care. It's not personal, or it is very personal. Someone did something to them, whether they came from the Pleiades or from the future or whatever they may be. Somebody did something to them that they didn't give their permission for, and they're mad, so they want to know as much about it as possible. So it's a very individual, self-searching question.
Have you ever had someone who said to you, Dr. Lear, I have an implant. I don't want it removed.
Yes, I have. And I was just talking to Whitley Strieber the other night about one case that I saw in Brazil. This woman had x-rays, and it was happened to be in the same place where the case that I did The first case that I did, you had two objects in the big toe, and one was working its way towards the surface. Now, this can get very dangerous medically, because if it came through, it's an open channel to the bone. So I was saying, well, you know, you may not want this removed, but at some time or another, you know, you may have to seek medical help if this thing opens and comes out. And she said, no, I will never have this removed because they told me not to have it removed. And they convinced me of doing this by stopping an insect in midair with some kind of a little beam. And they said, you know, we can find this insect anywhere on this planet, wherever it goes. So don't have these removed. They're there for a purpose. And she believed it, and she did not want them removed.
You know, when you add in alien, I'll just call it implants, because we really don't know yet where they're coming from, crop circles and formations, abductions. It's a lot of weird stuff, Roger.
It sure is. That's why the field of ufology is what it is, because there's so many subjects and there isn't the quality of individuals there to really look at this stuff. Academic science doesn't give a hoot. They don't want to look at it because of fear of embarrassment or monetary loss. That's why this new symposium we're doing, and unfortunately I volunteered to be master of ceremonies and in charge of the speaker selection, but we're going to have people on the stage, academic scientists with some qualified UFO researchers, and let them have at it.
Rich, east of the Rockies in Michigan. Hey, Rich.
Hi, how are you?
We're good, thanks.
Hi, Dr. Lear.
Hi there.
Hi, in 1974, we had a sighting of a friend of mine and me where this craft almost hit the car. It was, like, horrifying. Anyways, I thought we were going to get killed that way, but it turns out, like, 25 years later, I'm at work one day, and the guy I'm working with says to me, "What's that up there?" And he's pointing up, and there sits this big craft right in the middle of the day. So anyways, to make a long story short, after that, I was hypnotized, and I've got this spot right in front of my right ear that lines up perfectly with the corner of my right eye, and we believe it is some kind of implant.
Okay, so what do we do, Raj? I mean, how do people get a hold of you? And I'm sure physically you can't perform every operation. Do you refer them to people in the location that they reside?
I try and do the best I can with what I have. You know, if this gentleman or anybody else listening out there thinks they do have an object, then just please go get a plain, simple, ordinary X-ray taken. And you can do that very inexpensively and easily without prescriptions and going through all the hassles by just going to see one of your local friendly chiropractors and just simply tell them you think you have a foreign body and would you take an X-ray. They'll do it. If you get the films, you know, I'm happy to look at them so someone can reach me through the website. And when you get a hold of me, you just tell my secretary who you are and she got some films, and I'll take a look at them and contact the person.
And you have a website for the conference that you're going to be at in August, and I'm coming up to see you. That is Central Coast Science UFOsymposium.com. We'll make sure that link is up there at coasttocoastam.com for you, Roger. And I'm sure you got a link at alienscalpel.com, don't you?
Oh, yes. We got links that are just going up all over. Now, there's a toll-free number if anybody wants to call a number. They're only going to take 250 people because the venue is not large.
Okay.
But it's 877-937-7UFO or 877-937-7836.
Keep us up to date, Roger, if you would, on all these alien implants or implants. I keep saying alien implants, maybe because that's what I really want them to be. I'll be back in a moment with our special guest, David Bloom, as we talk about alternative fuels, specifically ethanol. He's next on Coast to Coast AM.